This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by GoEngineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit the UAVDigest.com/GoEngineer. You're listening to episode 230 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max, we've got a good show tonight. A lot of drones doing bad things, or people preventing drones from being bad things. I guess that would be the theme for this evening.
Yes, yes. Lots of stories to talk about.
So we're going to talk about dive bombing a jet. We're going to talk sports. And of course, I think we're going to have to start having a weekly, you know, the FAA or weekly FAA news. Well, we're going to have a weekly flying car slash taxi news. This is one of those things, Max, I was thinking about tonight as we were, I was going over the show notes. If you had told me that we were going to be dealing with flying taxis when we talked about this show and started it, I would have said you were nuts. But it seems to be a real common theme now in the drone world.
It does. It does. It just won't go away, and it keeps getting more and more real.
Closer.
Yeah.
So I guess with that, let's get started. Well, our first story is from flyingmag.com, and we'll have some other links in the show notes. FAA investigating video of drone flying dangerously close to airliners. This is one of the ones where we've had the words dangerously close to airliners, and we've had birds, and we've had other things. But I think this is the first one, Max, where we're actually looking at the airliner from the drone, which is not a good sign.
And in this video, we're looking at a Frontier Airlines Airbus A320 on final approach into Las Vegas, and we see this video. This was posted in a Facebook group, and the drone is up above the A320 and then kind of zooms down close to it.
Yeah. People, just so you know, if you're going to do bad things, don't post it to the internet because people will find you. But the speculation right now is this drone, even though the person who posted it said it wasn't his, is a custom-built drone. Something like a DJI Phantom would have had geofencing, so you wouldn't have been allowed to fly it in this area because you were flying within 5 miles of an airport. The FAA is taking this one seriously. Max and I were talking before we started the show, and I said, I've seen a couple of people speculate that it looks kind of artificial and computer generated. My overanalysis of this is there's a pivot turn in the video, which is actually the camera turning. And if you're not used to looking at drone videos and to see that quick snap camera turn, you might think it's actually the drone and you wouldn't think that that's possible. So I really think this is real footage and somebody needs to go away because of it.
And you're not the only one who thinks that, David. We see in a press release from AUVSI that a whole collection of organizations got together and authored this letter to the FAA. And in this letter, they urge the FAA to, quote, use its full authority to investigate, identify, and apprehend an operator who recently flew a UAS over an airliner. And they want the FAA to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. They say strict enforcement will not only punish the operator responsible for this unacceptable and reprehensible action, it will also serve as a deterrent to others for misusing UAS technology and create accountability among UAS operators. And boy, this letter is signed by kind of a who's who of organizations that are stakeholders in this.
Start off with AUVSI, the AMA, or the Academy of Model Aeronautics, the Aerospace Industries Association, Aerospace States Association, the Commercial Drone Alliance, Consumer Technology Association, the Drone Manufacturers Alliance, the Drones User Group Network, General Aviation Manufacturers Association, HAI, or the Helicopter Association International, the National Association of State Aviation Officials, the National Press Photographers Association, and last but not least, the Small UAV Coalition. Yeah, there's a bunch of people who are out for blood. This is probably the scariest thing we've seen, Max. You agree? In our 4+ years that we've been worried about this, this one is, it's really scary. And the fact that people are done, I don't know what's stupider, the fact that they flew it or the fact that they decided to post it to Facebook. Dumb.
Yeah, this is definitely a serious issue. Now, I will say, however, that I would wait until more of the facts are known surrounding this, because while it's bad, there may be certain factors that make you rethink, you know, how to address this. So while the individual, the student who posted this, who says didn't fly the drone, we don't know really much about him. I mean, what if it turns out this is a 12-year-old kid, right? Well, then all of a sudden, you know, is it really a matter of prosecuting and putting this kid in jail, or is this really a parenting issue? I guess what I'm trying to say, David, is I want to know the full facts surrounding this situation before kind of jumping to conclusions about what the FAA should or shouldn't do. What do you think?
I think you're from Connecticut and they put guns on drones in that state.
I just can't get away from that guy.
In all fairness, I think that my gut reaction says it's not a 12-year-old, especially if it wasn't a DJI Phantom or something like that. This looked like a sophisticated, planned out flight. And so I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I think it needs to be completely investigated. But if it's an adult and it was done deliberately, their butt should be pinned up against the wall, and whatever we need to do to find his ass and everything else to make sure that this doesn't happen again. I know that I've said in the past it wasn't if we were going to have a collision, it was when. But again, we got to prevent stupidity, and this is one of those dumb, you know. Ignorance. If someone feigns ignorance, I can't believe that on this one.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think there's someone out there who's got some real explaining to do, and a slap on the wrist is probably not going to do anybody any good. But again, kind of depending on the circumstances to a little extent. So I'm curious to see, you know, where this goes, just exactly what happened. Hopefully we'll be able to take a look at a full investigation and see what they do.
Okay, welcome to, let's change the subject, to flying cars. Okay, well, not flying cars, but flying taxis. EHang, autonomous air taxi, flew, and to add some support, some guy got to, i.e. the CEO, got to go for the ride in it. Max, I kept telling everybody that I would be the first one to volunteer. But evidently the CEO of EHang got to fly in it first.
Yes, I remember when we first started talking about the EHang 184, the autonomous air taxi, they call it, when that first was shown to the public. And as I recall, I was pretty skeptical, and I think maybe we talked about how this might have been more of, well, not a publicity stunt, but just a move to bring some attention and press to the company.
I believe I called it at least vaporware.
And it turns out to be a little different than that. We see that they've conducted more than 1,000 flight tests, and now including tests with the human passengers, including the CEO, as you mentioned. In the video that we've got, we'll put in the show notes, the video shows a number of other employees of EHang, engineers and other managers going up. They're almost fighting for the opportunity to go up in this thing. Now, they've conducted a number of tests. They've done a 300-meter climb test with a 500-pound payload. They've done a 9.3-mile distance test. They've even tested it in some pretty significant winds, almost typhoon-level winds. And so we're not talking about, yeah, the CEO getting in and rising up 6 feet, 8 feet, and that's kind of it. These are real flights. It's really impressive. And they've got two variants, it seems. If you look at the video, you see two different EHang models, sort of the original 184, which has one seat, eight pairs of rotors on forearms. And there's another model or variant of it that's got two seats with 16 pairs of rotors on eight arms. So the thing is, it's kind of tight, David. I'm not sure a guy as tall as you would fit into this thing, actually. But this, like you said at the opening, this is getting more and more real.
Are you slamming my height?
Oh, well, you just...
I don't have much. I don't have much else anymore.
You still got the Dutch height.
I still got my 6'4".
Yeah.
Max, it is really kind of amazing that we have this technology that's happened, I don't want to say overnight, but it's sort of happening overnight. And like you said, when it first happened, we were like, yeah, okay. But it's not only that, there's multiple companies working on the same process, maybe not as far as EHang, but people are getting in it and not hesitating. So much for me wanting to get my ride. But we'll keep following it because technically it's still a UAS.
Yeah, sure. It's an autonomous air vehicle.
But in this case, we have to call it an RPV, a remotely piloted vehicle, because it's definitely manned or womaned, depending upon who's riding in it. So we'll have to find new words for autonomous air taxis or ATATs. There you go.
Right.
I'm sorry. Sorry to Lucasfilm for stealing that one. But let's talk sports. This week, as of we're recording this, the Olympics start and the opening games will be the day of this is released. So TechCrunch is talking about DJI instituting no-fly zones over the South Korean Olympic events.
Right. This is a temporary no-fly zone. It's interesting. The article TechCrunch notes that aviation authorities in Korea recommended the size of the zones, and DJI has implemented them. The article also notes that this isn't the first time that DJI has created no-fly zones around popular events. They mentioned the Euro 2016 soccer tournament in France, as well as in the United States at both of the major party conventions, the Democratic and Republican conventions, and also at the G7 summit in Japan. So they've done this before. They know how to do it. But that's not the only kind of drone security measures that have been taken around the Olympic Games in South Korea.
There are other manufacturers of small UAVs besides DJI, and their geofencing doesn't necessarily work on another type. So this was from Fox News. Drone catching drones to bolster security at Winter Olympics. So for every drone, there's an equal and opposite anti-drone. And in this case, ones that fire nets to catch the rogue drones.
There's also some reports that some of the officials in South Korea are using signal jamming guns, or at least have them available if some rogue drones should show up. And they're also using a special drone detection radar. This is something developed by the Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology. So It sounds like the event is being, pretty well covered with measures to hope to ensure that there are no disruptions or any kind of ill intent created by drones flying around the events.
And of course, I believe NBC is again going to use drones for their footage, and the opening ceremonies are supposed to feature Intel's drone show. So there's going to be positive drones, and so hopefully that news will get out more than them capturing somebody flying a rogue drone like we talked about at the beginning of the show.
Mm.
And go USA. I know that I'm not supposed to say that for our international listeners. And let's hope that it's a safe and successful Olympics in South Korea. Well, we've talked video. We got a press release from AirViz Drone Video Awards announced. And we have a long list that was voted on Facebook on January 21st and was announced on February 5th. Tyler Mason sent us this press release about the Drone Video Awards. And there's some really cool stuff here over various categories.
Droney, best droney, landscape, racing, countries, people, animals, cities, tiny whoop, freestyle, sports, originality, real, and photography. And we'll have links to these videos. They're such spectacular videos, David. They're just some things that when you present them from an aerial viewpoint, they're just so spectacular.
I like the Iceland one, Awaken. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, that was good. The drone video of the year is a view of Moscow, which clearly, what a beautiful city, and this drone really captures the spectacular buildings and the sights in and around Moscow. Another video, I think it's in the freestyle category, where the drone ends up following along a train that's barreling down the tracks. And the first thing, I don't know if you watched that one, David, but the first thing that struck me is I was surprised that the drone could keep up with this train. But I think the other thing was that the train operator, I don't think knew that the drone was out there, because if you notice, the drone starts to fly over the top of the train, and as it approaches the front with the engine, it pulls down alongside, and I think the guy driving the train looks over, I think sees the drone, and the next thing he does is he closes his window, which I thought was an interesting reaction.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like he heard the buzzing, but yeah, now I liked a lot of these. They're really well done. And it's a lot less about the drone and more about the photography, I guess.
Right.
A drone is just a tool, and it's a high-tech tool, but it's a tool nonetheless. You still have to have an eye to get the right shot or to get the quality of this. So from an artistic standpoint, both Max and I are photographers, and we're always looking for the best shot, and that takes a while. These are videos that the drone is the tool. It's really not about the drone. So congratulations to the winners, and definitely take a few minutes and go to the UAVdigest.com and check out the videos.
Well, David, we have another drone package delivery item to talk about this week.
Well, yep, this week, besides a Tesla being put in orbit, which I have to admit was pretty awesome, Airbus Helicopters Skyways UAV takes flight in the future of parcel delivery. Currently, the Singapore Air Show is going on, and a lot of technology is being presented to the Southeast Asia nations at the Singapore Show. And in this case, Skyways completed its first flight demonstration at the National University of Singapore, which is down the road from the Singapore International Airport where the air show is going, because Singapore isn't all that very big.
So this drone, this Airbus Skyways drone, was launched from a maintenance center that they have. It flew to the roof of a specially designed parcel station, and then a robotic arm was used to load a package onto the drone, which then returned to where it had come. So kind of a complete demonstration. There's a quote from the Airbus Helicopters Executive VP of Engineering and Chief Technical Officer, Elaine Florenz. He says, "Safe and reliable urban air delivery is a reality not too distant into the future, and Airbus is certainly excited to be a forerunner in this endeavor." So again, interesting that Airbus brings you airliners and of course, helicopters.
I was going to say, this is Airbus helicopters.
Yes, yes.
It's interesting, both Boeing and Airbus have, the word coming to my mind is divested, but they're spreading out their UAS products through multiple divisions. They're not having one UAS division. In this case, Airbus helicopters, instead of Airbus or some of the other manufacturers that Airbus has acquired that focus on drones, they're sort of sharing the wealth and benefiting from multiple targets. And Boeing is the same way. They've got multiple companies now working on UASs, and they don't have one focus. So pretty neat the way the two major players are sharing the wealth or spreading the wealth out and I guess this allows them to be more open to what may be, you know, and spreading the capital.
Now, there were some other news items from the Singapore Air Show. There's an article from Air Cargo World titled "Singapore Air Show, Drone Tech is Ready, But Are We?" And it's an interesting perspective. Air Cargo World says that, well, they noted the achievement that Airbus has accomplished here with their Skyways package delivery drone. But Air Cargo World also says drones with last mile delivery capabilities, and particularly drones like the Skyways drone that deliver to easily accessible drop points rather than individual homes, require a dense population to justify the typically steep costs from research to deployment. But they also see a couple of problems.
Yeah, regulatory issues. But how do we go through that? We all know what those are right now. I do like this one, though. There's an old saying, NIMBY, not in my backyard, otherwise known as residents who might be hesitant to unmanned vehicles. You might want your package delivery to your house, but your neighbor might not be so thrilled with the prospect. So those kind of hurdles we've talked about, so I don't think we need to belittle. But let's talk about some other things that happened at the Singapore Air Show.
ST Aerospace showed the concept for an unmanned freighter. Their idea is that this would be piloted by an artificially intelligent computer. We see AI showing up everywhere these days, it seems, a popular buzzword. ST Aero was optimistic that we could see an unmanned freighter in the next 5 years. They say the technology is available now, but public sentiment is not really where it needs to be. So kind of a similar viewpoint as Air Cargo World was taking. They're both apparently a little concerned or noting the issue of, you know, are we ready for this stuff? Not so much is the technology ready to provide these kinds of services.
It's coming, folks, whether you want it or not. But let's move on to a video of the week. And this was sent by one of our listeners. We'd like to thank Rick Smith. He says, "Hi, guys. Your podcast is the best. I never miss your podcasts, and they are so well done. Thanks for all you do. I don't do anything. It's all Max. I just show up." Just so folks know. Wow. "I have a drone video that I've had over 2 million views. The video was called Beaver Dam Collapse, Rick Smith. I've updated it with new and better 3-minute version, and here's the link. So the update in 2016 is, this video documents a beaver dam collapse and rebuild on our property in northern Minnesota. This is an update video depicting the beaver's progress 1.5 years after the total dam collapse. The dam was an engineering marvel as it was double-decked and holding over 9 feet of water. The collapse was spontaneous and a total shock to us. We just happened to be there when it gave way. The collapse was caused by heavy rains a week earlier, not by human intervention. Thanks, Rick Smith. This is pretty cool. I like this a lot because it's just really neat to watch this beaver dam get rebuilt. What did you think, Max?
I think it's amazing what these little beavers can construct. Just the magnitude of it and the way that they create an environment that's, well, not only for themselves, but it becomes a complete ecosystem that they create with their, let's see, what do they call their, not their den, but where they live in the middle of this.
The den. I thought that was what the beaver, I believe it's a den.
And then,
lodge. It's a beaver lodge.
I knew it. I knew den was wrong. Right. The beaver lodge.
We get it, folks.
We get it eventually. And then all this water, there's this huge amount of water all around that supports, you know, it's a whole ecosystem in and of itself. So a fascinating look. Thanks to Rick for sending that video to us. Have a look. It's in the uavdigest.com/230.
And of course, feedback at the UAV Digest, just like Rick did. Just send us your videos. We'd love to share them with our audience. And some feedback. This is actually a press release from our friends in upstate New York at CNY New York, CNY Drones and Lisa Marie. They'll be hosting an informational meeting on Friday, February 16th, 2018, and Friday, March 16th, 2018. For those interested in forming teams for the area's first open team drone competition, Rig Rescue. And we'll have further notes, but so if you're in the upstate New York area, you might want to check this out. Great STEMS project, you know, and what it is you're going to have to deliver a package to an oil rig. So we'll have links to the show notes. And if anybody's up there and wants to send us a brief notes on what was going on or
send us a report.
A report and an audio report, you know. It's real easy, folks. Use your iPhones or Androids. They make great recorders these days. So we look forward to that, and hopefully we'll hear more from CNY about what's going on in upstate New York.
Yeah, you can learn more at their website, which is just simply cnydrones.org. All right, David. Well, I think that that just about wraps up this episode of the UAV Digest, and we want to thank all of you for listening. You can find us at the uavdigest.com. Or you can go straight to the show notes for this episode. That's at the uavdigest.com/230. Drone Mama will have a lot of links and supporting information in the show notes, so take a look at those.
And of course, you can join our Slack listener team, which keeps getting bigger every week, and by sending us a request at feedback@theuavdigest.com. And join the party and swap stories and keep up to date with UAVs as well as our other airplane geek shows. And of course, we'd love for you to be on Facebook at facebook.com/theuavdigest. On Twitter, where at least I try to forward some stuff along during the day. And you can feedback us at feedback@theuavdigest.com. We love seeing videos like Rick's. You can help us by leaving feedback at iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And you can purchase some swag at our Cafe Press store. But most of all, thank you. And thank you for showing up at our sponsors. And don't forget, we have a list of conferences and events. Send us those if you have something so they can be on our website. And definitely check them out to see where you could be a droniac in your local area. So I guess I'll talk about my local area, Philadelphia. Go Eagles, world champions. So this is David from Philly.
And Max from Hartford.
Thank you for listening.